Good morning. Welcome to the June 23rd, 2013 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And I'd like to begin by sending love, thanks to all the folks rising up around the world today in Turkey and now Brazil. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have no words to express my grief at what you and all of us have suffered under the regime of class, or to express my joy at your courage in facing it and transforming it into love and true power. And we know that what makes it to the airwaves is but the tip of a huge insurgent below. We all know people are waking up globally, but we aren't told what's going on in Sweden or Egypt or China or South Africa or Canada or the Ukraine until the numbers are such power can no longer pretend it doesn't exist. And it's important not to forget in this context Galbraith's point about the inability of nation states to affect to any great extent the global trend called growing disparities consequent to capitalism's, that is to say, power's end. As long as nations restrict their actions to those sanctioned by the global market, the degree to which within that mindset government policy can intervene in global tendencies is limited to non-existent. On today's show, we'll be examining some recent thoughts on this matter of the future that I recently heard from Emmanuel Wallerstein, perhaps taking issue with them a bit. And we'll be discussing capitalism as ideology and asking, how do we know that a wage work system leads to totalitarianism? And I'll be arguing that what keeps us from moving forward with our global solidarity is the fondness of mine workers for inventing ideologies. We cannot let these guys tell us what is wealth. We cannot let them tell us it's determined by a quantity or quantities or some selection of commodities, by sums of labor-dense stuff packed into the soul's absence. And we cannot let them tell us there must be differential access to this stuff because, or so they tell us, we can't all be Denmark. We can't all be Denmark, I heard Emmanuel Wallerstein say on my way home from last week's radio show. He was speaking at the June 7, 2013 Left Forum with his usual straightforwardness and clarity, which I so appreciate. Except in this brief excerpt of his advice, I couldn't make sense of why on earth I would want to be Denmark, which to say is not in any way to disparage Denmark. But thanks to him, we seem to at last have consensus that capitalism is doomed. I know because I heard at this same event even Richard Wolff say it, quite unabashedly, by the way, despite his having just written a book supposedly telling us how to cure it, U.S. capitalism, whatever that is. He's even admitted that what we're trying to move beyond is global and that a narrow nation-state focus is insufficient for anything like a useful strategy leading to a future that's free. Such is the degree to which more and more of us are now seeing reality that even Richard Wolff is forced to concede. While Emmanuel Wallerstein acknowledges that democracy has never existed, he still poses it, or some future realized form of it, as the alternative to an ever-growing totalitarianism. So, along with the professional left generally, his advice boils down to, apparently, let's make democracy real. But in Beginning Again, I wrote that democracy is a politics of want, of manufactured scarcity, and that it exists at the expense of individual power. And Wallerstein's words suggest he may be in agreement, as he seems to believe in this notion of scarcity. Now, Hesiod, a farmer, knew better, and this a few thousand years ago. He wrote, "For the gods keep hidden the livelihood of men. Otherwise, you might easily do enough work in a day to have enough for a full year with no further need to be working, and might immediately hang up your rudder in the smoke of the fireplace and release your oxen and hard-working mules from their labor." And that's from Works and Days, the R.M. Fraser translation. "What good is your argument," Hesiod asked, "and your fat tastes, if there is not a sufficiency stored within of seasonably gathered grain, earth's produce, the fruit of Demeter?" And that's from the online essay, Palmer's Chat, As We Take Our Earth Back, which you can read in full. And there's in the table of contents a link that allows you to go directly to that Hesiod quote. "If you study the ways of Demeter," Hesiod told us, "Demeter, goddess of the corn, and know her secrets, then you will know how much more the half is than the whole," he wrote. Now, every year our plum tree in one day gives plums enough to keep us in jam. I'm swimming in it as we speak for a whole year. And that's a single tree in low-income Berkeley, covered in concrete. So you know and I know the earth is rich and generous.